Decision. Jordan hardly glanced at the squat, four-armed robot valet as it carefully packed his clothes into his one travel bag. Another robot, equally efficient and silent, except for a barely audible buzzing, was packing for Aditi. It was mid-morning, the day after the World Council's meeting. After finishing their packing, Jordan intended to have a quick lunch and then leave Barcelona, heading for his home in Cornwall. The world has changed so much, he thought. Almost human robots, whole continents reshaped by the greenhouse floods, the World Council acting as a benevolent authority that muzzles the news media and tries to keep the public from being alarmed about the death wave. But Cornwall will be the same as ever. The rocky beaches and the eternal sea won't have changed. At least the sea level rise apparently hasn't swamped the cliffs altogether. And from Cornwall I can reach the news media. I can make my case to the public about the death wave and the worlds that need to be saved from it. Looking around the bedroom, he realized that Aditi was nowhere in sight. Where is she? He stepped into their sitting room and saw her standing by the soundproofed windows, staring across the plaza at the ornately carved facade of the cathedral. The high sun cast vivid shadows across the figures of saints and angels frozen in stone. He stepped up behind her and clasped her shoulders gently.
"It's magnificent, isn't it?" Aditi murmured.
Staring at the intricately carved stonework, Jordan replied, "Nearly 1,000 years old.
We have nothing like that on New Earth."
The cathedral was built when religion offered the only explanation for life's mysteries.
"They built it by hand, without power tools or computers or robots."
Human sweat.
"But someone planned it. Someone had a vision of what it should look like when it was finished."
"I suppose so," Jordan said, "although it took several generations to finish it. You know, across the city, the new cathedral of the Holy Family was only finished 100-some years ago. It took more than 2 centuries to complete it, even with computers and power tools."
"Religion is a powerful force among your people."
Jordan nodded as he turned Aditi to face him. "I'm afraid I have to change the subject, dearest."
"Oh?"
Walking her to the colorful sofa, Jordan said, "Halleck and the World Council are not going to build the starships we need." She sat primly beside him, but there was steel in her voice as she said,
"Then we must withhold the energy screen that can shield this world from the death wave."
Jordan shook his head slowly. "I'm afraid that tactic won't work."
"Why not?"
Raising a finger, Jordan explained, "First, they know that they have 2,000 years before the gamma wave arrives here. For them, that's an infinity. They're in no hurry to face the problem."
"But they've got to, sooner or later."
"They'll choose later. Second, they don't really need our help. Thanks to Mitch, the people of Earth know how to build energy screens."
"But a system that can protect the whole planet and the other human habitations in your solar system, that's a different order of magnitude from the baby screens Mitch has been dealing with."
"Same physics," Jordan countered. "The real secret of the energy screens is that it's possible to make them. When the time comes, human scientists and engineers will figure out how to shield our worlds." Before Aditi could reply, Jordan went on, "Besides, they'll know that we couldn't withhold the information if they needed it. We couldn't consign the human race to extinction. I know I couldn't. Could you? Could Audrey?" She hesitated a heartbeat, then slowly answered,
"No, of course not."
"Any threat we make to withhold the information they'd need to save themselves would be hollow, and Halleck and her ilk would understand that."
"Then what can we do?"
"That depends more on you, dear, than it does on me."
"What do you mean?"
Jordan took a deep breath, then plunged. "I've been cooperating with Halleck to avoid publicity. I haven't wanted the news media to turn you into a center of their attention, an object of curiosity. And that's what they'll do if I try to make a public issue of the death wave."
"An object of curiosity?"
Grimly, Jordan explained, "They'll want to know everything about you. You won't have a moment to yourself. Once you allow yourself to become the focus of their attention, your life won't be your own. They'll be at you every minute of the night and day."
"But the Council's security guards..."
Shaking his head, Jordan warned, "You have no idea how frenzied the news media can become. Public figures have been literally hounded to death by paparazzi and their ilk. Once you open yourself to their attention, the security people won't be able to protect you. I doubt that they'll even try. Aditi thought that over for a moment. Then,
that seems a small price to pay for saving the planet.
Easy enough to say now, dearest. But once those wolves begin hounding you, you won't have any privacy at all. Not a moment's worth. Aditi shrugged her slim shoulders.
I'm willing to face that, if it's necessary.
Jordan looked into her warm brown eyes and saw that she was completely serious. I don't think you understand what you'll be letting yourself in for. She gazed back at him, unwavering.
If that is what it takes to save your people.
He hesitated. Jordan knew that she was right, yet he knew that he was also right. Her life would be torn apart once they opened themselves to the news media. My life, too, he realized. Perhaps you should ask Adri about this, he suggested. Nodding, Aditi said,
I will.
He got to his feet, thinking. If we could stay in Cornwall and live quietly, sooner or later Halleck and her successors will realize that they'll have to protect the human race from the death wave. But what about those other worlds, those other races who'll be wiped out if we don't help them? Can we stay quietly in Cornwall and allow whole intelligent races to be extinguished? He knew they couldn't.